Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technologies, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
Previously on Sci Friday, it was time for...
Science!
Welcome to Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. A special program this week, kind of imposed on us by our schedule this week. Guests in from out of town to record network programming for Skywatch TV 3 out of the 5 days this week. On top of which, I'm working on our mini documentary, our travelogue, chronicling Sharon's and my recent trip to Israel, Jordan, Rome, and Sardinia, and some of the really interesting sites that we've seen there. So going through all of those images and video clips and putting them together into a cohesive, coherent program is taking up a lot of time, and we really need to get that done here fairly quickly because we're offering that with my forthcoming book, Last Clash of the Titans, which you will hear and see more about on Skywatch TV in the not-too-distant future, coming up in August. So because of all that, we decided to dig into the archives and bring back one of our recent programs, one that if you're a new viewer to Sci Friday, we hope you enjoy, and if you are a longtime viewer, we hope you enjoy again. Welcome to Sci Friday on Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me as always in studio, the author of the Red Wing Saga, Book 1, Blood Lies, Book 2, now available, Blood Rights, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, love. Close enough, we can hold hands.
Just hanging over here.
And joining us today to talk about science and its relation to the world around us, especially worldview-oriented, the author of the new book, Saboteurs, and, of course, the CEO of Skywatch TV, Tom Horn. Tom,
hey,
welcome.
Great to be here. Hi,
yay!
Honey.
It only took, there we go. It only took two and a half years to get you on the show.
Yeah.
That's great.
He begs to be on the show every week, and we keep saying
Excuses. We finally ran out of excuses today. So, well, it's been an interesting week. We have talked about the transhumanist movement on this program many, many times. And, of course, you know, you produced the film Inhuman, which won the two Telly Awards,
right,
the bronze and the silver Telly. But this week, boy, it's sort of like we moved into hyperdrive, where a former engineer from Google just flat out said, I'm going to create my own religion, and I'm going to do it by creating a supercomputer.
Yeah.
Right.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
You
and
shall
he's
be his gods.
Well, he's even launched his own religion. What's it called? The way of the future, right? And so it's interesting how the transhumanists put themselves forward as logical naturalists, right? Not going to give any credibility to the ideas of the Bible. But yet, all of their language and everything else continues to revolve around transcendence, rapture for the nerds, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Immortality,
apotheosis.
The quest for apotheosis, we're going to become as gods.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's really just kind of taken it to the next logical step. That as, you know, the people in the transhumanist circles in Silicon Valley, which has gone from making computer chips to imagining how they're going to insert them in our brains, right? They're seeing that, you know, 2045, which I think is Kurzweil's date for the year man becomes immortal.
Well, he's moved it up now. It's not 2045 anymore. I think he's moved it to 2029.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And I think other people, not just Ray Kurzweil, other futurists are saying that based on kind of the exponential curve that they're seeing in the rapid development of artificial intelligence and the algorithms based around that, that they think now we're going to get to the point where we can create fast, ultra-fast computers. They're also learning how to use biology now instead of just creating synthetic silicon chips or whatever, Moore's Law. They think they're going to break Moore's Law by actually creating living computers because they can store so much data and the computational speeds and everything else is so much faster. But, you know, you watch Kurzweil's movie that came out, Transcendent Man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think you can even just watch that on YouTube now. I think somebody stole it and stuck it up on YouTube. But
some artificial intelligence.
But you see,
up there.
Well, yeah. You see him simulating, though, how in the near future we're going to inject into our bodies smart technology, nanobots, These are going to integrate with our brain. We're going to become the Borg, if you want to think of it in dystopian terms. But he doesn't. He's a utopian. And we're going to transcend our humanity. And that's why he takes so many vitamins and stuff every day, because he believes if he can just keep himself alive for another 15 years or so, then he can move from this, what do they call us? Not a bag of flesh, but I forget what to have a real
meat space.
A meat space, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to upload ourselves into some, you know, sentient hive reality, and we're all going to live forever.
Well, we talk about this as if it's, you know, there are less people going, oh, that's never going to happen. Well, DARPA thinks it's going to happen. DARPA's betting money on it.
Yes. Yeah, they've been working on this for quite some time. And it's all part of the, I think we would be naive if we didn't think that the Brain Initiative and the Human Genome Project weren't part of this.
Mm-hmm.
There is its development to try to map the human brain so that we can find out how all the neurons are connected and then replicate it artificially.
Exactly.
The Human Genome Project, of course, so that we can start tweaking the germline in order to improve humanity. And when you get right down to it, when you start thinking about what that actually means, we talked about it last week on Sci-Friday, the British researchers at the Crick Institute that changed a certain gene in order to prevent the development of a key protein in human embryos, and then stopped them from developing, which of course means they took embryos, allowed them to develop, and then killed them.
Yeah, that's called murder.
Right. But in China now, they've done that, taken that a step further and said, we've cured a genetic disorder by using CRISPR-Cas9 technology.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, whether we want to think it this way or not, we think, well, this is a good thing. We're curing disease and so forth.
Sure.
Well, what we're doing actually is we are eliminating the unfit. We are...
It's eugenics.
It is eugenics.
Yeah.
The state of Indiana had passed a law. This law banned abortion when the abortion was made on the decision. The decision to abort was made by the parents because of a diagnosed disorder like Down's syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But the law was written to make it a little broader than that. Any disorder or any genetic characteristic.
Right.
So you couldn't say, it's a girl, we wanted a boy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The gene says he's got brown eyes, we wanted blue.
Right.
But a judge says, no, you can't do that. So again, parents in Indiana and many other places, of course, will choose to abort a child if it's diagnosed in the womb as having a certain birth defects.
Right.
I guess you can understand that as a parent, because there's nothing more painful than seeing a child,
suffering.
You don't want them to suffer. But on the other hand, when you get right down to it, that sort of selection process is what the Nazis were trying to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Nazis got their program from the state of California, which was developed by a group chaired by David Starr Jordan, who came from Indiana.
Exactly.
So it comes back
Jordan
around
Hall
to Indiana.
Is named after him. That is self-directed evolution.
It is self-directed evolution.
We can't even imagine if Hitler or Mengele or whoever would have had access to the kinds of technology that we're talking about now.
Yes,
what
right.
kind of experiments
good grief.
That they would have been trying to perfect the Aryan super race, the Übermensch. But there is a question here, and I think that even Christian ethicists are trying to kind of walk through this minefield now, and that is, where does therapy stop and enhancement begin? And that's really the slippery slope here, the sticky wicket, that nobody wants to stand in the way of therapy. In other words, let's say you were diagnosed tomorrow with cancer, and they say we have a gene therapy, and we're going to take the gene from your arm, right? We're going to get a stem cell or whatever, and we're going to create a therapy. We're going to inject it back into your system. It's good, we would look at that and say, well, that's a lot better than radiation, or chemotherapy or something else. So I think that is how this kind of technology is moving forward, but I don't see how it can move forward without also resulting in going from therapy to enhancement.
Exactly, and that's how it's going to be sold. I have no problem with restoration. None at all.
Right.
Augmentation, however, is different.
Mm-hmm.
If someone comes along and says, I can restore your sight.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone blind because of whatever. I can, glaucoma, whatever. I can fix that. But if they come along and say, how would you like to be able to see like an eagle?
Mm-hmm.
That's enhancement.
Yeah.
And how would we like to guarantee that your children can see like an eagle and be 6 foot eight and have the reflexes?
Exactly. You know, and be first in line to vote because you have to serve in the military now in order to vote. I mean, there are a lot.
But you know, again, that the way the transhumanists argue this, they'd say, well, you're wearing glasses. You're already augmented. You know,
right. Every child at the mall is looking at one of these.
Yeah, they're already,
enhanced because their brains are enhanced because of the smartphones. And
But the unforeseen circumstances, I heard a woman, and in fact, I've got to figure out who she is and go and get her book and read it. She is a psychologist and teaching at the university level this week, and I happened to just hear a blip of her on a talk show, and she said, we are at critical mass. She said, we right now are at a point in our universities where the kids, first of all, she said, they can't even read a textbook from front to back because they're allowed to use their smartphones when they take their test. She said, we're graduating kids who actually don't know anything. Mm-hmm. They don't know anything. They just asked, whatever, Google, tell me what the answer to this question is, and they write that down on their test. Mm-hmm. They actually haven't actually learned anything. But then she went to a different place, and this was the one that got to me. She said, what's worse than this is they also do not have any deep philosophical worldview.
Right.
They don't even know what they believe. They're being puppeted by people on the street, say, march against this or push over a statue. They don't even know what they're doing. Why? Because former generations went through debate classes. Okay, you take the side of the Marxist and I'll take the side of the capitalist and we'll argue these points. We'll think deeply about this stuff. We'll study the philosophers. Mm-hmm. We'll study what former generations fought wars over and why they fought wars and what they learned and why we don't go down that road again. And it's this old axiom, isn't it, that those who forget the mistakes of the past are doomed to repeat them. Mm-hmm. So what do we see now in America? And I'm getting off of transhumanism a little bit, but, 50% of Americans now prefer socialism over capitalism. Little by little, we forget where we have been. So this does apply to transhumanism because we are forgetting the dangers of World War II and what they were trying to do through selective breeding. And we are moving back, I think, into eugenics. And it just sounds so wonderful now.
And
right?
I would argue that it definitely has to do with transhumanism because social media is being used to move the herd.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And because many young people today, not all, but those who live their lives on social media, can't sit down and read a newspaper.
Right.
They can't sit down and read a nonfiction book.
Right. Their news is, this struck me the other day, was I saw a news organization who specializes in reporting from Capitol Hill actually quoting what the comedian on the late night show on Comedy Central thought about Donald Trump. It's like, why is this guy's opinion relevant enough that... it's because that's where many of the kids today are getting their news. It's from Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. We're thinking in 140 character
and
bits and bytes.
And related to that, we're all aware that they're also incapable of the kind of strong interaction, personal interaction, social development. Because instead of kids going outside and playing together and or doing whatever, you go into a room, you go into the mall, you walk in and there's a whole crowd of them sitting there and everyone of them, and they're not
really... entire families where the parents are doing the same thing.
The parents are doing the same thing. So on the one hand, we do have the advances of technology. And I have to admit, I mean, I love the fact that I can go to the internet and I can just immediately pull up research material, right? Mm-hmm. It's very helpful. It's very useful. But at the same time, I'm very concerned about where we're going. Of course, again, back to Kurzweil and guys like that, they're going to say the day is coming when you won't even care. You want to know philosophy? Your brain's going to be filled with a library full of every great thinker that's ever existed. But that is different. Having access to knowledge is different than you knowing why and being able to defend at a deep level why you believe in your worldview, why you do what you do.
Critical thinking and wisdom is not the same thing as information.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we continue. Tom Horn, our special guest this week on Sci Friday. What is the milieu?
Ooh.
And why is Tom Horn putting one together? That's next on Sci Friday.
For nearly 20 years, Dr. Thomas R. Horn has warned of a coming transhuman hybrid age. It has finally arrived. And now, Zygon, the celebrated peer-reviewed journal of religion and science, has published a thesis by a professor of religion and philosophy at the University of London. identifying Dr. Horn and his team from Skywatch TV and Defender Publishing as the leaders of the transhuman resistance. But what is transhumanism, and why are academics and leading futurists worldwide suddenly so concerned with Horn's milieu? Hold on to your seat, as all will be disclosed this April. The Milieu. Welcome to the transhuman resistance.
The world's top academics and futurists are identifying Dr. Thomas Horn and his milieu as the leaders of the transhuman resistance. But what is Horn and his team of researchers getting ready to expose about the rapidly approaching hybrid age that has top-level professors so alarmed? All is revealed in the new Milieu Hyper Collection. When you order the Milieu from Skywatch TV, you'll also receive the brand new full-length documentary film, The Last Religion, featuring over a dozen theologians, including Chuck Missler, Gary Stearman, L.A. Marzulli, Joel Richardson, and more on the subject of artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and the unfolding of the last days. This cutting-edge work was 30 years in the making and is being called the prophecy film for millennials. Also included is the never-before-released audio series The Hybrid Age, featuring Dr. Thomas Horn and legendary radio personality Steve Quayle. This amazing audio series is nearly 5 hours in length and discusses the game-changing genetic advances scientists are making now. Plus, you'll also receive the two-time Telly Award-winning documentary, Inhuman, featuring members of the U.S. President's Council on Bioethics, top transhumanists, and world-renowned theologians discussing how thousands of government and private research facilities around the world are already working to rewrite what it means to be human. But that's not all. With every Milieu Hyper Collection, we're also giving away a surprise package with a retail value of $75 in extraordinary overstock products, mystery items that may include books, audio series, music CDs, DVDs, documentary movies, emergency preparedness items, and more. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $160. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So arm yourself for the days ahead with everything you need to know about the coming hybrid age. Get the Milieu Hyper Collection now at SkywatchTVStore.com or by calling 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Sci Friday on Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert along with Sharon K. Gilbert and CEO Tom Horn of Skywatch TV. Hey, please take advantage of the other web exclusive programs available only at Skywatch TV, the Skywatch TV channels on Roku and Apple TV, and the Skywatch TV mobile app. That includes Into the Multiverse with Josh Peck, the daily 5 in 10 updates, a quick read on events of the day, and of course, web-exclusive interviews. And all through the month of October, we are going to have, beginning in just a week, special programs devoted to the topic of spiritual warfare as we lead up to Halloween.
Hey, before we get into the next, I really want to really quickly let you know that there's a Crazy Tom deal on these books right now. You can pre-order Blood Rites. Blood Lies is already in the warehouse, but if you pre-order Blood Rites as well, you can get just Blood Rites for $19.95, or you can go on Amazon and pay $19.95. But if you buy it from here, you get the Sci-Friday Best of Sci-Friday Disc on DVD, which is $25 value.
Right.
And you also get the Aramon Gate audiobook that you read, which is a $20 value, I think. And, and that's crazy, crazy good. If you want to get both books, you don't have Blood Lies yet, you can just for $10 more. $29.95, you get the freebies, Sci-Friday and Aramon Gate, and you get both books. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy Tom strikes
Crazy
again.
Tom, wait, and I've received a lot of emails because you did the voiceover on the Aramon Gate.
Anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people have said, wow. That. In fact, it kind of created a problem because now they're wanting us to take every book we put out and have
and put them on. Yeah.
It's like the guy's got too many jobs already.
Only we had time.
Yeah. Well, we've had people asking about the audio versions of Blood Lies and Blood Rites. And
we'll try to get to it eventually.
That, but, Yeah, it I really enjoyed reading the Ahriman Gate when it was out, because I enjoy that type of fiction that deals with these sort of fringe science topics, mm-hmm. especially from a Christian perspective. But then getting back in and reading the book again, especially knowing where a lot of the character names mm-hmm. came from, uh-huh. Really added a new dimension to the book. But then, the scene where Buck and his dog Tater, or Tater.
I know. Oh.
Everybody seems to love that part in the book, right?
Well, that's because I was actually breaking up when I recorded it, and mm-hmm. I just left it in because it sounded authentic, and it was authentic. So, it's the kind of thing that you can't fake.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hardest thing I ever did, though, by the way, I do not know how Sharon can do this. She can sit down and write as fast as I can talk, and the character development and the prose and I look at this and how in the world can you do this?
That's
right?
How the Lord wired me. He wired me to do that, but He wired you to do many, many other things, including creating the milieu.
The milieu.
Yeah.
So you brought that up before the break. This S. Jonathan O'Donnell, right? He's a teaching fellow at the University of London. And actually, you were the one that alerted me to this.
Somebody sent me a note. They said, "Hey, I didn't know if you've seen this." I forget how I stumbled onto it, but I think it was an email from a viewer who said, "Hey, I don't know if you've seen this, but you guys got mentioned in this paper."
Yay!
And so I looked at it. It's like, oh well, this is Tom will certainly like this. Basically, it's about you as sort of the ringleader of a group of, and how does he put it?
He's head of the inner circle is what he is.
But he calls it a milieu. Basically, we are rebelling against this transhumanist movement. We are the resistance against the transhumanist movement.
Yeah, and so that people know, because, and by the way, I think this was just like a badge of honor to me, right? He actually calls it Horn's Milieu, right?
Oh, I love it.
It cracks me up. You're in there.
I know.
Derek's in there. You guys
are
all.
High praises for
we didn't know we were forming a milieu, but evidently we did, right?
Yep.
But basically what he is saying is, oh, and this was published in a peer-reviewed science and religion journal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's a almost 30-page thesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated the fact that you can tell this guy spent a lot of time, right?
It wasn't a hit piece.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, it's not a hit piece, but it is written from a different worldview.
Right.
Yeah. And in essence, he sees us as the resistance to the transhumanist movement. And basically what he's saying is transhumanists in that community are going to have to, some way or another, deal with people like us. If mm-hmm. they want to advance their agenda, they're going to have to get past that part of the religious community that not only sees some ethical issues in what we're discussing here, but also some supernatural dynamics. Mm-hmm. So after the first of the year, our plan right now is we're going to publish a book called The Milieu, Welcome to the Resistance, right? And we're going to be fair, too. We're going to be fair, too. We're going to talk about the good parts of science and advancements in technology, because I'll tell you, I really do believe that, like my grandparents, my grandkids, if the Lord tarry, they could grow up in a world where they will be astonished at the kind of stuff we died from, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe that. And hopefully many of the cures to debilitating diseases can be discovered in a way that Christians can also get on board with, right?
Sure.
So it's an improved aspirin. It's a better way, mm-hmm. right, to deal with our health. And Christianity has always been at the forefront of that. That's another one of the things that's ironic about this, is so many people in the transhumanist communities, they talk about us as the resistance, right? Like we're standing in the way.
Like we're Luddites.
Luddites, right? We're technophobes. When in fact, all of the great universities dedicated to health, all of the great hospitals, these were all born mm-hmm. out of the whole Christian ethic of healing, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus being the first great model of that,
right.
Since we can't do what he did and just point at somebody and say, you're healed, then we do what we can do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting now that we find ourselves in this predicament, that we are the leaders of the resistance. And so I think we're going to take that, right? Thank you.
Sure.
All right. We welcome the position.
We're going to get T-shirts printed up.
Join the milieu.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is a badge of honor. But it is kind of amusing, because I don't think any of us here Yeah, but we take, obviously, what we do and the research and the writing that we do, the programs that we put out very seriously, but we don't take ourselves that seriously.
No.
And yet for someone on the outside looking in saying, okay, well, this guy Horn here and these people around him constitute a clear and present danger to our religion, because let's be honest, they may call themselves scientists, but what they're looking to is an alternate form of salvation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're putting trust in technology.
Right.
Instead of in God we trust, it's in tech we trust.
That's exactly right. Well, you started the show out talking about the former Google executive he's saying, I'm going to create an AI God that we're going to worship, and I'm forming a new form of religion. And there are a lot of people in that community. I remember when we were making the documentary Inhuman, and we went to the university where James Hughes teaches, he's the head of the IEET, mm-hmm. the Institute for, I forget, anyway.
Emerging Ethics and Technology,
something like that. And he cracked me and Joe up when we were there because he said, well, Tom, don't you believe that at some point a giant gate's going to open and I'm going to take charge and lead the Nephilim to destroy humanity? And I said, well, not exactly that way, right? But yeah, do I connect it to Bible prophecy? Certainly I do. And this this former Google exec talking about creating an AI God,
mm-hmm.
I've wondered for some time. I think we're going to have to write about this too, maybe in the milieu, right?
Yeah.
What we talk about is the singularity actually going to give birth to what the book of Revelation describes when it talks about having power to give life unto the image of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big question, exactly. And that's something I've been talking about for years, this idea of connecting everything.
Mm-hmm.
The Internet of Things, DARPA at least wants to connect all of their battlefield things. Mm-hmm.
Well,
imagine that.
Actually, one of the spokespersons for the Department of Defense just a few weeks ago, people can Google this and read it, he's talking about this now as being the next arms race. Now, we were speculating that when we were making the documentary, mm-hmm. Inhuman. They're saying it now. In fact, he says it scares the bleep-boop out of them because China, Russia, they don't have the same kind of, rich Christian Judeo heritage that we have that might restrain us from using humans for experimentation and things like that. So we don't know what they're developing, but according to the Department of Defense, it's very scary. And therefore, of course, this is the way this always works, right? We don't want to have to do this, but we have to do this.
But we have to. It's the same reason they kept smallpox in a freezer and still have it. It's because the other guy might get it.
And as we talked about in this program before, if the human brain is just essentially a bioelectrical device, and we know it can be overwhelmed by an external entity, a demon.
That's right.
You know, could not the same thing happen to a computer? And in fact, E.W. Bullinger, the great Bible scholar, 100 years ago, after hearing about the research of Nikola Tesla, who was working on an artificial brain, said, this could very well be how
the image
of the beast is given life. So
we're out of time.
This is not a new idea. We are out of time. Well, Tom, thank you very much for joining
us today.
Here. Always a fun discussion. Sweetheart, you're my favorite person to talk to.
I've got to ask you the opening quote. Where was that from?
Oh, 12 Monkeys, the movie 12 Monkeys.
Ah, there you go.
With Bruce Willis, yeah. We thank you for watching as we keep watching. Have a blessed weekend. With Sharon Gilbert, Tom Horn, I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Sci Friday on SkyWatch TV.